Good afternoon. This is the Design Commission, and I'd like to begin by introducing first the Bureau of Development Services staff who are here today. Hello, Kara Fervanti and Tim Herron. Members of the Commission here today at this very moment are myself, Gwen Millius, the Chair, and Commissioner Jeff Simpson. We're praying for two more. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction or modeling of projects within designated design zones. We are not paid but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. Type 3. For Type 3 reviews, the following procedure is required. 1. Public testimony can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in the Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report. The staff will identify the applicable criteria as part of the staff report. 2. Prior to the close of this hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony. If such a request is made, the commission will either grant a continuance or hold the record open to provide an opportunity to submit additional evidence and an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. 3. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. 4. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court under Oregon Revised Statute 197.796. The commission's decision on this case is final unless appealed to the city council within 14 days of the decision. If the decision is not appealed, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instructions will be provided with the notice of the commission's action. This hearing is recorded, and all speakers need to sit at the front table and give their name and mailing address before speaking. The following procedures will be used for each case. 1. Staff will show slides of the site and surrounding area and present a report which will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and include information on letters received on the request, findings, and a recommendation on the request. It's a 10-minute presentation, although I'm not sure we'll need that much time today. 2. Applicant will present the report. There's a 20-minute maximum on that. I understand this is a larger project. We may need more time for that. I guess it depends on how much we cover today. We can talk about that. 3. Public testimony will be received in favor of the proposal. The chair has the option of imposing a 3-minute time limit, and I will. 4. Public testimony will be received in opposition to the proposal, and again, a 3-minute time limit. 5. The applicant will then be given an opportunity to rebut the testimony of the opponents. 6. Public testimony will be closed. 7. If any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence. The record will be held open an additional 7 days to allow parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. 8. After the record is closed to all of the parties, the applicant will have an additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. 9. After the record is closed to all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of a tie vote on any motion, that motion will fail. 10. If the commission's decision amends or overturns the Bureau of Development Services staff report, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. Our first and only case today, I should make a note that if there is anyone here for the Conway Block project, which was LU13-148833DZM, Block 296, that has been postponed until August 1st. So our only case today is LU13-127647DZM-AD, the Lloyd District Superblocks. Applicant is Kyle Anderson of GBD Architects, and the site is Northeast 7th, between 7th and 9th Avenues, and Northeast Multnomah and Holiday Streets, and our planner is Kara Fervanti. For the record, Commissioner Jane Hansen is here. Also, for the record, we are down one commissioner, so you're probably going to have to wait before we get started. So, ready? All right. For the record, Commissioner Work has joined us. Let's get started. Welcome, David. Go ahead, Kara.
Okay. Thanks. Is this on? I would like to go over the materials in front of you, and then I'll be brief and let the applicant present all the changes since the last time we were here. This is the third hearing for this project. We were here once in May, at the end of May, once at the end of June, and then today. There's a staff report in front of you recommending approval with a few conditions recommended by Portland Transportation. The staff report does include Portland Transportation's comments, but I also printed out their response dated yesterday for you, if you needed to reference that. Also in front of you are two updated drawings from the applicant, one for the addendum at the yellow tab of your binder, and then that same plan is updated for the drawings within the white tabs. It's just clarifying the paving within the plaza. The rendering was always shown correctly, but the materials shown on the right-hand side of the page were not updated. So that's updated for you. There's also a memo from me that I sent to you last week. I printed out a hard copy for you if you needed to reference that today. It's kind of your long cheat sheet if you needed one. It basically lists out what our choices are for today, depending on how your deliberations go. Those are those three bullet points in the center of the first page. And then I added to this memo sort of the running list that I used along with GBD between the last hearing in June and today. Some pretty detailed comments that you made and some larger, broader conceptual ideas that you presented and asked the applicant to at least consider, if not consider and revise. And with that, I think that's all. I'm here to answer questions, or we could hand it off to GBD and run through the list of changes.
Okay. Questions of Kara? All right. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Is this on? Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Kyle Anderson. I'm with GBD Architects, located at 1120 Northwest Cooch Street, Suite 300, Portland, Oregon. I had some notes that I was going to read at the beginning. It's funny because I started out and I said, thank you for your time this evening, but actually it's this afternoon. So we've been here three times now for some long hearings, and I think we're at a place now where we have a project that we hope you can approve, and we are here to seek your approval. We're ready to put shovels in the ground, but before we do that, we do need commission's approval to make that happen. Hopefully you've had a chance to review the binder that's in front of you. It basically captures everything that's been done on this project, all of the plans, all of the sections, all of the elevations, the details for blocks 92, 100, 101, as well as the improvements to the Lloyd 700 building, plans, details, and sections of the plaza, the Haslow improvements, and Northeast 8th, which is a pedestrian muse that we're creating in the project. Like previous hearings, what we'd like to do is go through this block by block and section by section and discuss them, and then have the deliberation at the end, if that's okay. I think that seems to work best, as opposed to going through the whole thing and then kind of bouncing around. We do have a couple of people that are going to come and speak, so it just makes logistically a lot easier. So the project, without saying, is an enormous effort by all that have committed themselves to it. It'll serve as a catalyst to an area that has a gap today. We plan to mend that urban fabric and create a smart, vibrant community propagated by sustainability. We also sincerely believe that your input, insight, challenges, and comments have resulted in an improved project and set of buildings. And I think we'll show that to you today. If we went through this thing back in time from the first DAR, there's a lot of changes that have taken place in these buildings. And I think we all agree that they've actually had significant improvements, and it's because of your contribution. So we believe we are at a point where we have an approvable project. So that's what we're seeking today. So we're not going to go through too much background. We're just going to, I think Kara already went over this, but the sheets, just they're just a swap out.
And I was going to say, I mean,
I wasn't expecting you to reintroduce us to the entire project, you know,
yes,
brick by brick again.
And okay, good.
That as well, right?
Good.
Okay,
no,
good.
I'm just going to do some before and after for you just to kind of leave an impression. So a little bit of summary, building overview, address our revisions, and then request for support. The site and the blocks. So I think these before and afters, frankly, are pretty impressive. That's what we've got today. That's what we're proposing today. This one is actually on Multnomah, looking towards the state office building. Remind you of this Beaux-Arts moment that we're creating here along 8th, culminated by that, the dome of the state office building. And we've got the trickle filters in the foreground, block 100 in the Lloyd 700 building. Before, standing at the corner where Nordstrom's is located, and after. Block 100, we're really creating this project for a grocer. We're actually having conversations with grocers as we speak. So we're trying to get the right kind of destination grocer to be in this block. And that's been the goal since the beginning of the design. Before and after, looking from Holiday, looking to the north down 9th, Holiday with the double tree on our right. This one's on Holiday looking west, block 101 and 92 in the distance. And then here we are at Holiday looking down 8th to the north along what we've called Water Street. I don't think our intention is to name this Water Street, but it's kind of adopted that name given what it's doing. This one's fun. This is at Liberty Center on Holiday and 7th. And then another one on 7th, a nighttime rendering. Shot of the plaza as it is today. Mauricio will get into the details of that with the pavilion, the bench. We've taken a lot of your comments from the previous hearing and incorporated them into this design. This one I love. This is a great shot. So basically we've got these parking level that's been carved out of the site and we're surrounded by asphalt. And what we're proposing is this. I mean, to me, I think this is a huge change. It's hard to believe it's the same place, but this is what we're here to talk about today. And an aerial view looking towards the city. Just as a refresher, this is how the loading and trash are being handled on this project. These are things that we've negotiated and worked with PBOT on. Today we have trash coming and going out of 7th Avenue, and we have loading 492 happening off of Haslow. There's some restrictions of operation on the trash, which is part of the staff report. And then trash and loading for 700 still happening within that plaza in a more of a universal type space. Parking, trash, and loading for the grocer and for the residential happens along 9th. And parking and trash and loading for 101 happens along 9th as well. And then through a permit with PBOT, we're able to either go forward and back out or to back down large transcontinental rigs, if you will, to unload. Obviously, none of these buildings would be able to take in a 70-foot-long trailer. So that's something that PBOT has recognized that we need to deal with because there's a lot of restrictions on the streets that surround the site.
Good afternoon. My name is Mauricio Villarreal. I'm with Place Studio. I'm a landscape architect. And as Kyle mentioned, we're here to kind of show you the updates regarding the kind of issues that you brought up in our last meeting, them being synthesized into 700 plus refinements, wood details in the landscape, you know, how we're working with the bridges and how we're working with the different wood structures that we're providing. The trickle filter wrap actually will be discussed later as part of the architectural pavilion discussions, light fixtures and edge details. So quickly, the site plan has remained very much as you've seen it in the past. I think that one of the main differences is how we addressed kind of the character and quality of the 700 plaza. I think one of the comments that were brought up was that it was a little bit too fractured, and we took that to heart and started thinking about how can we resolve that. I think that we've come with a solution that frankly clarifies the use of materials and clarifies the character of the spaces by removing the wood deck here and allowing that to be a concrete deck. So the quality of the space or the space is made all of cast-in-place concrete. Also, the finishes are changed, and the scoring is one continuous pavement scoring. So we de-emphasize this actual move towards 700 building. We allow for this move of the concrete pavement to extend to the west of the spine, this axis. As you may recall in some of the diagrams we showed in the past, the notion is that you have Water Street as this axis that is running north-south, and then these open spaces can tag along the wave on both sides. This is the first of many that we hope are coming in our way. So the material then, the wood is then only used for providing seating opportunities. You have the angular bench, the large angular bench here at the plaza, at the open plaza space, and then the seats that were being provided here that felt a little bit out of the family, as you mentioned, is then replaced also by a wood element. We believe in this way we tie the whole space with one language of materials, and then we clarify kind of the intent of vertical elements for seating, negative spaces for planting, and the plane being out of concrete. That translates into this cast-in-place concrete with an integral color and an exposed aggregate that we want to incorporate into it to give it some texture, some character. Then, as we discussed previously, the sidewalks are then a typical broom-finished concrete, and then the band along the way has some integral color to it. The benches themselves are then made out of Ipe. And then the planting, another addition, was an addition of trees at the corner here to create a sense of an edge to that piece, a sense of entry, if you will, but also to create that canopy, that overhead that we all kind of look for in open spaces, especially when you have a large, high building next to you. The perspective view of what that we envision could be, again, trees now along the way here, the seating element. The seating element has also continued to be refined, and the angle of the element is such that now creates a better relationship between this moment in time and then this bench to the edge, addressing a little bit of the concerns of where the focus was being placed. If you were to, say, have an event and a stage, de-emphasizing or kind of relocating its emphasis so that it's not towards the pavilion itself. There's also some questions about, how is this bench being made and what is the character of it. If you think about it, is the notion is that it's a plane that comes together that has one same elevation at both ends. And then as it moves up towards the building, these two planes start splitting. You have one that remains, if you will, level, and one that starts climbing up with the changing grade. And then the separation between those two planes provides for an opportunity for a backrest. And what we're interested in and what we really like about it is that backrest has different qualities as you move along the edge. It may be just a 10-degree angle at the beginning of it, but once you get into the most aggressive angle, probably goes to a 25-degree angle. It also changes in height and in width, because we like to think of this not as a bench, but we like to think it's a sitting element that is used in a variety of ways, and by providing different widths and different angles, then you can use it in different manners. Some more, these details are in your package, but the intent is that there's a concrete element that gives us the base for the form, and then and then the construction itself that is directly related to the user is IPE. We also talked about lighting, and there was a lot of conversation, frankly, amongst the commissioners, and it seemed that there was an even number of two and two of changing the lights or not changing the lights. We believe that the approach that we had taken emphasizes the character and supports the ideas that we're after. We have the Hassalo Street, kind of a high light LED sustainable light that by arching over the street, actually, we believe creates a sense of gateway down Hassalo. The concern or the one light that we change to share with you today is the light that we're placing along Water Street. I think that the comments were correct as it related to maybe it's too articulated, maybe it's too active. We've looked for a light that was more streamlined, and to some of the issues of will this light be available in 5 or 10 years? I personally believe that that's an issue with anything that you purchase, but this light perhaps would be an easier light to find a comparable light that may not be identical if you needed to replace it at a later date. So the change here for lighting is changing the light fixture that we had in Haslo to a more kind of streamlined element. Also, I think there were questions about distances between the lights. I believe you have that in your package, but if I recall correctly, they're about 50 feet space, plus or minus 50 feet on center. And this is just a perspective showing the lights. You know, what we like about it is that they're not extremely prominent, but they still create a rhythm down the water street and play along with the architecture that we're proposing. And one other comment that was brought up was the notion of what are the edges along this water street and living machine. There was a concern perhaps or a desire for a more refined or clear approach to it. What we've done is, and kind of taking to heart and kind of agreeing that, you know, this was a little bit chunky perhaps, we wanted to set up a way of standardizing the edge. So this edge is a steel angle that is 4 inches high and 4 inches flat. So when you see it, you have this steel, you know, this galvanized metal edge that is 4 and 4. And that happens along the edge of the water element. And then there's times then when we express that same form of 4 inches up and 4 inches flat, but with a with a tube that then in this case is being represented here coming across, creating the edge on a bridge inset from the edge of the platform 4 inches. So we like the idea that it gives you the same kind of the same character in a different manner. So it is not just one continuous boring approach, but it gives you a little bit of variety as you move along the way. So frankly, I mean, so to summarize, you know, task ourselves of simplifying the 700 Plaza, creating a more unified space, allowing for the clarity of uses within it, the uses of materials. The same manner, hopefully the wood details that we share with you explain to you how these things will come together. The trickle filter, as I mentioned, will be explained later. Light fixtures, I think addressing mainly the issue of if we need to buy a new light, the light that we've chosen, we believe will be easier to purchase. And the edge details are, you know, what we believe are cleaner and a good change to where we were. So with that, I'll hand it over to Kyle. But, you know, as he's mentioned, we're hoping that this satisfies your concerns and request the commission for support in the landscape design.
Really quickly, are there any questions? Well, landscape design. All right, thank you.
I want to talk about block 92. We'll keep them in order, 92, 100, and 101 for simplicity.
Good afternoon. Augustine Enriquez with GBD Architects. Same address, 1120 Northwest Cooch Street, Suite 300. Same agenda. We'll walk you a little bit around the building, talk about the specific things you asked us to look at, and then we'll show you our revisions. The five items for block 92 we were asked to take a look at were some courtyard details. There was, in particular, a channel detail that was used to be all around the building and what its dimensions and depth and the angle of the channel. We also took a look at eliminating the white channels inside the courtyard and two requests just for some technical information of lighting plan and the ground floor details. Block 92 is the southwest corner of the project. We've seen these slides here. This is looking from the intersection back towards 92, again from Holiday looking north, the before and after from the southwest corner looking northeast. And then we'll just dive right into the courtyard details. We've, without talking about them at length here, we've put in the packet and we've referenced these page numbers, so if you had questions, we could talk about them in detail. These are where the pages are that have those details, but we've given you what we think is a comprehensive package of the courtyard details. The white channel, metal channel that previously existed both on the exterior of the building scan as well as the interior courtyard, we've dived into a little bit more detail to talk about the construction and the dimensions of it. It's 12 inches tall, 3 inches deep. If we were to zoom into this area here, the actual slope, which is something we were asked to take a look at, the slope now is 1 inch per foot, so it's an 8% slope. The thinking there would be that that's going to be a steeper slope than we might typically have on a roof, which would be a quarter inch per foot, so it would drain faster and help alleviate some of the staining concerns that were brought up. The study on the white metal channel that was previously wrapped all around the building, we looked at eliminating it on the inside. After doing that, I think we agreed and we went to a more vertical composition of pilasters within the interior courtyard. So we previously had thought that was not going to be the way to go, but I think after looking at it, we agree, and so we were making that revision. Here's the elevation. So there now is a much clearer difference between the exterior perimeter of the building as from the courtyard perimeter. And then the lighting plan, I think this is a lot easier to understand in your packet, but there are a very small number of fixtures that we're proposing, all relatively simple and contemporary in their appearance. And then again, we won't go into these specific details, but you asked for a comprehensive package to show the ground plane details around 92. And excuse me, these are the areas that we blew up in more detail for you. So again, we were asked to look at these five items, three of them were design changes, two of them were technical and just more detailed information. And so we've done that, and we could answer questions right now, or we could continue to move up forward to 100.
Questions about 92? Okay, thanks.
Block 100. Exact same scenario. We'll walk you around the building, talk about the things we were asked to look at, and then ask for your support. On this project, there were there was an additional request. So instead of five, there were six. Look at the ramp. Look at a little bit more details at the green wall. We've made change there. Design study of the window condition. So we've got, we'll show you the study that we did on that. We're still proposing to have what we had in the previous hearing, a detail through the stone pilaster, some conceptual ideas for what might happen at the garage entry heading down into the vehicular parking, and then some ground plane details. Block 100, as you know, is in the northeast corner of the building. Here's the before and after from the intersection looking towards the Nordstrom portion of the mall. Now, if we were to stand at the Nordstrom portion and look back to the project, the before and after, down 8th Street. It was noted in the last hearing that we had a potential issue with not having a landing at the top. That's true. We've made that revision. This slide, because the rendering, this is sloped. It's the same material. It looks a little darker, but just to kind of reiterate, this is the same material that's happening at the top of the ramp as it is happening down in the lower courtyard. It looks darker, but that's only because it's sloped, and so there was a shading issue there. The green wall product info, I think the commission's familiar with the product info, but we had a little bit of a detail we wanted to point out. In past projects, we've had the irrigation happen in this zone and then a frame all the way around it. We'd still have the irrigation, but it'd be down below. We'd still be able to figure out that detail, but we're bringing out the metal panel midway between the plantings, so I think it'll be a much flusher look. I think it's just better all the way around. You won't have a frame. It'll look more like a carpet that's folded down on the building. We were also asked to take a look at the louver condition and whether or not we should have the metal panel adjacent to the louver. So here's what we were asked to take a look at. Here's where we were. We're still proposing to be where we were, and I guess the point would be that we're trying to alleviate as much of a condition where there's a thin spandrel brick condition, so the brick feels a little bit mass, has more mass to it and feels like a solid block. So we took a look at it, and we're proposing to keep it as it was. We discussed a little bit last time the stone pilaster detail at the garage entry. So here's a representative image just in terms of the detailing concept where you're seeing a metal extrusion on the side or a brake shape piece, but you're really reading the material as a surface material rather than a solid material. So just a detail of the way that might work. And we're not proposing necessarily a particular solution for what the garage entry would be. What we're proposing is that it would be something other than just white paint, and would be an opportunity, what we envision being an opportunity to have some signage and some wayfinding down into the garage in particular, be able to describe people where parking would be for the grocer. So here's a very conceptual idea of taking some color and some branding messaging and leading a patron into the building, but we're not proposing this as a particular solution other than that we would do something ultimately there when we have a signage and wayfinding consultant brought on board, and we had a particular user for the grocer. So we will do something, and what we're trying to show is a conceptual study for what we would potentially do. And the same series level of ground floor details and composite skin drawings in 100 as they're in 92. We won't go through those, but to say they exist and they're in your packet, and we could talk about them if needed. So to summarize, there were six areas to look at. We've looked at all six of them. More detailed information is in your packet. We can answer questions if necessary. But we'd ask for support for Block 100.
Other questions about 100?
Block 101, same agenda. So we were asked to look at four things in Block 101, to relocate the Fire Command Center, this is a high-rise building, to try to maximize retail along 9th, to study podium design to match the tower's aesthetic, and to study the tower window pattern, the play of verticality in that. And then, again, like the other blocks, to clarify ground-level sections and materials. So this is the block that's in the southeast corner. Here's a shot down Holiday. Here's 9th Street before and after. Here's a shot from Holiday looking down 8th Street. So we were able to relocate the Fire Command Center and wrap retail around along 9th Street. And actually, this had some positive effects because we were able to eliminate one of our modifications for active use. So we only have two modifications today on this entire project, and one of them is on 101 for the linear footage of windows along 9th Avenue. We actually meet the area, but we don't quite meet the linear requirement. So the other modification, which is in your staff report, is for forward motion along 7th Avenue. So we looked at the podium design. There was a lot of discussion about just the scale and the look of this particular podium element relative to the west. And that was actually really great feedback because we came up with a solution that we think improves the overall scale and composition of the building. It has a nice setback that happens along the top part, similar to the east condition right here. And we were able to, taking that same move and wrapping it, we were able to eliminate a precast element, which was a little bit maybe out of place from the rest of the building, and brings the scale down. And so there's a lot more compatibility and cohesion between the two podium sidecar arms of the tower. So we think that helps. We think also this kind of punch and linear moves plays well nicely with the era of the Lloyd 700 building. So the window pattern at the tower, this has been something that we've looked at many times. And we came up with a very small move that tied these two pieces together. We went back and looked at the study of just doing vertical pilasters all the way up and still feel strongly that this has more of a commercial feel to it, and that really what the Lloyd District is missing is more of a residential scale. So the breakup of those verticals we think is still the right thing to do, and we have longer rips. If you remember from our previous hearing, we have sixes and fours that slip, but there still is kind of a layering of scale, both large scale and small scale, for the typology of this building. It would be before and after on the podium, the study on the verticality in our proposed solution, number three. Number four is the ground plane details. These are in your book, and we can pull these up if necessary, but we've included wall sections in that packet so that you can see how the materials transition and how the setbacks work. So these are the four things that we reviewed, and we're seeking your approval for Block 101.
Any comments or questions?
Lloyd 700 building. Actually, I think we came a long way last time on the Lloyd 700 building. We were asked to look at the elevator stair pavilion, consider reducing the size of the pavilion, and to look at the trickle filter design concepts. The existing pavilion location was right here. The trickle filters are at the end of 8th Street at Multnomah. And here's a shot of that plaza. And here's what we had before. We had the glass-encased shaft with the elevator cabs red that go up and down. They would park on P1, so the majority of the time you would be seen through this enclosure. There was a question about maybe eliminating the lid of this enclosure and letting the kind of canopy pavilion take care of that. In discussions with the city, that would then require that we fireproof all of the steel, which then kind of brings on a whole other design aesthetic of jacketing steel or using intumescent paint, which doesn't have a very smooth finish. So keeping the lid on is still requiring some appeals because it is basically an extension of the garage, but we have a better path to that appeal by keeping the lid on. We did, though, flip the stair and elevator so that the elevator is further away from kind of the plaza, making it feel more open. And we actually slipped the whole entire pavilion about a foot and a half to the east to give a little more breathing room to the pavilion. The stair is still open. It's secured at the landing down below, and it is monitored by patrol and also by CCTV for security, but it leaves it virtually open. The cab also has glass in it, too, so when you arrive, you kind of have an immediate sense of orientation. Here's some of those dimensions. Really, an 8-foot waiting area in front of the elevator is about as small as it's going to get. These are driven by the elevator itself, and the stair is really driven by its. So we were asked to reduce its size. We're kind of at its limit. We do want to keep a little bit of an overhang so that a florist or, you know, a barista could park underneath there during times and have a sense of space. The trickle filters, we were proposing a solution today that we think is approvable, but we think we can do a little bit better. And we don't have enough details on that solution to present today, so I wanted to keep the solution very simple. It's basically stainless steel mesh, mill finish, 13-gauge, quarter-inch spacing that wraps around and also goes across the top. They're all the same height. There's a pivot in, like, pie sections that pivot up so that you can gain access to a manhole inside to repair the equipment as necessary. What we'd really like to do is work with either an artist or work with a local perf supplier to see if they can take digital images such as reeds or grasses and have them punched into the perf to wrap those trickle filters, or to work with a local artist like Todd Littlehales that makes these kind of nice solid void pieces that have this sense of wrap to it. So this is kind of the direction we like to head, but we don't have, you know, a proposed solution for that. But what we do have is a solution that we believe is an improvement and is something that should be approvable given the kind of the, we want to tell a story about the trickle filter, so we don't want to completely clad them. They have to be there. They're a functional piece of the living machine. If you remember from Design Review 2, we had the shrouds of them really high, really low, and there was a concern about ladders and how do you come and go out of them, and there wasn't a top on them, so stuff could collect inside. So I think we've addressed those concerns and still left the functional aspect of them in place. So that's what we have on Lloyd 700 building, and we'd seek your approval on that, too, if there's any questions.
Any questions specific to 700? All right. Thanks.
And here's a recap of the two modifications that we're seeking approval as well.
Okay. All right. There is an opportunity for the public to testify if they wish. If anyone wants to do that, they would give yellow forms to Paige, and she would bring them to me. See anyone jumping up to do that today? Give me a second to rethink. Great. At this point, I'm going to close public testimony. We have a complete staff report in front of us, and we have seen this project a number of times. So wanted to open the floor to any deliberations my fellow commissioners want to make on the project. Right. I'm not seeing any of you jump up to speak. I have a feeling we're getting close to a decision here. So go ahead, Jeff.
Quick question about the edging system in the plaza. I understand the angle iron piece, but the tubular piece, are you going to cap the ends?
Yeah.
So it'll read as a solid?
It'll read as a solid, that's it.
And so is there an airspace between the surface and that, or is it actually ground mounted?
It'll be ground mounted.
So it'll look like a metal curb almost?
Exactly.
Got it. Thanks.
Any other questions bubbling up? Should I be officially opening the record again? Okay. Comments? Deliberations? Anyone want to just get started? No? Okay. Jane, do you want to start?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, thank you for the very clear and concise presentation. And I think it just gets to the heart of the matter. And just kind of going through item by item, I mean, in general, I'm in support of the project, and I agree with all the changes you've made. I just have a couple of comments related to the plaza. I happen to really like the boardwalk, and I think it created a place within the larger plaza. And it's not that I don't support the direction you've gone, because that's a different composition. It has a totally different feel to it. But I would just like to throw it out there that I thought the boardwalk was a good amenity to have in the previous version of it. And also just kind of the second thing is that on the lighting now in the open space, the light that you have on Water Street is so similar to the one at Hassalo that it's not creating an experiential difference between the, and that's what I liked about the lantern quality of the previous light fixture was on the pedestrian and bikeway, it had that kind of feel of being a lantern where the other one felt very vehicular. And now there's kind of like not a difference between the quality of light in those two areas. So I think I liked it better the way it was before. But I think that the edge treatments that you were showing are really nice. And I think that they're, it's a very fine detail, but it's going to be a really nice addition. On block 92, I think that the elimination of the continuous channels in the courtyard is good. And I think seeing the thinner profile of the cross-section through them, I think they'll be fine. I don't have an issue with that. On block 100, I appreciate all the additional details that are shown. And I'm fine with the approach to signage at the garage entry ramp. I think that makes sense. And also the louvers, I've sort of come around to the way that you've designed it. So I think that the facades, they look really nice. I really like the richness of the brick on the facades. On block 100, I do think that there seems to be more compatibility between the podiums and the tower now. And I guess I'll just say you haven't changed the tower from the previous one, but the thing that I like about it is that it has sort of a lyrical quality to it. To me, it just reads a little bit jazzy, and I think it is residential in that way, so I like what you've done with that. And then as far as the pavilion goes, you know, the only thing is I'm just still concerned about this stair being a safety and security issue. And I just have a feeling that at some point somebody's going to have to retrofit something around that stair to make it feel more safe. But I like the overall shape of the pavilion and its place in the plaza. And I think it's going to, and the way you framed it with trees. And just to go back to the plaza, I really like the fact that you've taken those trees and put them on both sides of that big bench feature. And I think that's going to be a really nice place to sit and be in the plaza. So overall, I think it's a great project, and I'm supportive. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great. Mr. Simpson?
Thanks, Jane. Thank you, Jane. You kind of covered the first two items that I'm in total agreement. I appreciated some of the pavement changes at the 700 Plaza. And so going with a monolithic finish there, I was surprised. I don't remember what the comments were on that topic specifically, but I don't think they were from me. I was sad to see it go. So, and the light fixture too was something that struck me as so similar. You almost want to stick with the same fixture instead of two separate ones, or maybe they're two different scales: a more pedestrian scale fixture and a vehicular scale fixture. So to me, it kind of lost some of the interest, the visual interest, the playfulness along that pedestrian corridor. dumbing it down and removing the lantern. I know there was an issue with lanterns and that particular fixture being something that may be time-tested and available from a maintenance operation standpoint. So I'm not sure that solution is necessarily something we all think is a final solution. But, I like the moves with the pavilion flip-flop. I think that was a really good change. Overall, the project's great. I like the way you've come up with some ideas for the enclosure on the trickle system filters. Mm-hmm. Be curious to see how that evolves when you get an artist involved. So I like that. Good job, guys.
Mr. Work?
Thank you.
I don't have any comments.
Okay. Good. All right. All right. Well, I'll sum up. I guess I want to start by saying this is a welcome project to the Lloyd District, and we are all in great appreciation for it coming. I think it should be an important catalyst to the neighborhood. I was especially struck by sort of the injection of some important neighborhood retail elements that the Lloyd District lacks today, and that the neighborhoods around the Lloyd District will be well served by. I think the grocery store in particular will be a welcome addition to the people that live around this project. Because this project is so key to such an important neighborhood in Portland, I think it's important to get it right. And you know, in our presentation to City Council in April, we talked about the importance of the ground floor plane, of experiencing buildings at pedestrian speed, about the kind of richness and detail that's necessary in order to make buildings feel substantial and like they're long-term parts of the environment when you design with somebody moving at pedestrian speed in mind. And I think that that is why this commission pays such close attention to the details. And I think that's sometimes hard for a newcomer to the process to realize. And it can come as a bit of a shock. But that's part of what makes Portland a great pedestrian city and what makes it such a great city to experience on all the different ways that we get around. So I appreciate how hard the design team has worked to respond to our many comments. I recognize, of course, that not all of our comments were embraced, and I don't necessarily expect you to. And I don't think my fellow commissioners do either. I think it's the act of study and of working these problems and coming back to us and saying we've looked at it and this is where we're at. Just that revelation of the work, I think, is important to us. And being able to see that the things have been looked at and that that consideration was made is important. So I'm not looking to check off the list of absolutely every comment that got made and make sure that absolutely everything that we picked out got resolved in our minds. In terms of things like the trickle filters, I think the design team has the capability and the will to do the right thing, and I'm not overly concerned. I think the overall approach is a good one. I think that the skin of the De Young Museum was something that had crossed my mind in the last hearing, and so it's exciting to see that referenced, and I think it could be a great approach. I mean, I don't expect you to replicate it. But I think that's the right approach, and I'm sure you'll come up with something that balances aesthetics, function, and, you know, kind of vandal-proofing the things that we brought up in the last hearing, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll be able to do it. I appreciate the work on the podium for Block 100. I think that it's going to be a stronger project for it. And overall, again, I really appreciate the hard work that you put into this. I know it's been a long road for everyone involved, and there's been a lot of late nights and a lot of stress over it. I'm glad to be in a place where it seems like we've got at least three commissioners ready to move this project along. I mean, if I don't, to be honest with you, the light fixture thing, I know we were split on if there's any desire to amend or move or, you know, do some friendly amendments, whatever, I'm open. So if the two of you want to get together on that, you can.
Okay. I'd like to just include a friendly amendment to reconsider the light on the Water Avenue.
Okay.
Just to be either different or the same, and probably being the same isn't the right approach. That's a bigger light fixture and probably puts out too much light. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the difference on the lights right now is they became a lot similar and perhaps too similar as it related to establish one family between the two of them. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a difference in scale. Mm-hmm. You know, the light fixture in the Hassalo Street is a vehicular scale light fixture. The light fixture in Water Street will be a much lower light fixture. So there is that happening between the two of them. But both of them do have kind of that L-shaped character to themselves. The Hassalo Street light fixture extends a lot more horizontally than the Water Street light fixture.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a strong feeling overall project. So.
All right. Okay, well, in the absence of any other comments, I need somebody to make a motion.
I'll make a motion. I make it a motion to approve the staff report as written, including the three conditions of approval.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, great. Paige, can you call roll?
Jane Hansen?
Aye.
Jeff Simpson?
Aye.
Dave Moore?
Aye.
Hi, congratulations and good luck with your project.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Now we'll jack